Day, put your hands up.
Murdoch.
Yes, at last we come face to face, Mr. Day. Better known as Agent 24. You've eluded us long enough.
You won't get away with this, Murdoch.
We shall see. Now the plans, where are they?
I won't tell you a thing.
All right, Mr. Day, we have our methods. Kretzmer.
I'm here, Schmurnoff.
Take your hands off me! You're not going to torture me on that thing. It's positively medieval.
Medieval, yes, but very effective. I believe they called it the rack.
You swine.
All right, Kretzmer, turn the screws. Now, where are the plans?
I refuse to tell you.
Very well, Mr. Day. We shall keep fretting you until you tell us.
I shall never talk.
That was an excerpt from The Longest Day. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Fred Bear, Sir Ringo Hume, the Postman's Registered Male Voice Choir, Miss Wendy Whip.
She's a cracker.
To continue, Joyce and Lionel Nuraev, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Hall, the smooth, polished head of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hall.
Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. Well, this week I was going to talk to you about bell ringing. I'm afraid I don't know the ropes. So instead, let me tell you some of the things that happened since we last met. On Monday, I was invited to an Eskimo wedding. There was rather a cold reception afterwards. Quite unusual, really. All the women came in their cloth coats, and when it came to the big moment, they blew out the cake and ate the candle. Now, on Wednesday, I ran into a chap who told me he was in business selling lions. And I said, I shouldn't have thought there was much demand. But he said, on the contrary, I do a roaring trade. On Thursday, I like this one coming now. Just wait for it. On Thursday, I popped round to see some friends of mine who've just moved into a new flat. It's only a basement flat, but it's under a very nice street. Anyhow, they were all dressed, ready to go out for the evening, some big affair, evening dress, tails, and all that. And suddenly his wife remembered she'd left a suet pudding in the pressure cooker. So her husband dashed into the kitchen, but just as he got there, the pressure cooker exploded. Well, naturally, we both shouted out, "Are you all right? What's happened?" And he said, "I've pudding on my top hat, pudding on my white tie, pudding on my black hat." Oh, dear. Never mind. However, it's time now to introduce our new Hornorama feature.
Topics of our time, in which we take a closer look at people and events in the news.
Is there any truth in that report on the amorous housewives on a council estate in Camberley? We sent Cecil Snape to investigate.
Well, listeners, I'm standing now outside one of the houses on this estate where controversy has arisen over an alleged list of housewives with amorous intentions from which the various workmen and tradesmen have sought protection. I'm actually outside number 13, where the lady of the house is purported to be number one on the list. Well, now, let's see what she has to say about all this herself. You know, I can't help feeling that perhaps these reports are a little unfair, and that one should...
Yeah?
Oh, good morning.
And that was the last we heard from Cecil Snape. We did, however, take the investigation a step further and asked one of the workmen to come and have a few words with us. How do you do, sir?
How do you do, sir? And very nice of you to ask me along here. I am delighted to be here. I am. You're asking me in out of the cold, you see. Yeah. Nice to come in for a warm, I always say.
Now, What exactly do you do, sir, apart from talk too much?
I am a gas meter reader, sir. Yes, I've been reading gas meters now for about 35 years.
How long?
35 years. I haven't said that for about 35 years.
And do you enjoy reading gas meters?
Well, it gets a bit boring sometimes. I mean, once you've read one, you read them all.
All right, now tell us about your experiences in Camberley.
I haven't had any yet.
Oh.
No, I'm from Potter's Bar myself, and I don't start in that area until tomorrow.
Oh, I see, but you have heard about these goings-on, no doubt.
Well, of course I have. Why do you think I asked for a transfer? I put in for it.
Yes, sir, yes. Thank you very much indeed. Now, let's... Our police have come in for a certain amount of criticism recently, but let us not forget that, on the whole, the peace force of this country is well served by conscientious and courageous young men.
Hello, Rod.
Hello, Charles.
Well, how are you, PC Force 2?
Fine.
I nearly saw you yesterday.
What do you mean you nearly saw me?
I saw PC 43.
Oh! Oh, you are an old boat street wag.
Well, Charles, do I make a good constable?
Absolutely dolly, Rod.
You really mean?
Yes, I do. Do
you?
Definitely you.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, Roddickin, you've got such an arresting personality.
Oh, there you go again. Had any interesting experiences lately, Charles?
Oh, yes, rather. You'll never guess what happened the other night when I was on duty. I popped into a shop doorway for a crafty smoke, and a courting couple came along and shone a torch on me.
No, what about me, though? I was patrolling up and down outside number 10 when I heard footsteps, and I called out, "Halt, who goes there, friend or foe?" And back came a voice saying, "I'm the Prime Minister."
What did you do, Ross?
Well, I had to go and get a second opinion.
I say, Rodney, look, that chap coming out of that building over there. Isn't he the fellow who's been eluding us for weeks?
You're right. Come on, Charles, we'll get him this time.
Right! You cover him from the front, and I'll sneak up behind.
Excuse me, sir, just a moment. Yes, Constable?
Got you at last. Whatever is it? Would you like to buy a ticket for the police ball?
Lovely spot prizes, you say. Lucky program. Now, this is a way to time.
Which brings us to our panel of experts who are waiting to discuss this week's searching question. Top of the table, that celebrated man of words, Hanky Flower.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Actually, you see, I shouldn't be here. No, I shouldn't be, you know. I haven't been well, you see. No, I haven't been well. No, I had to go to the doctor, you know. No, I did. I had to go to the doctor, you see. No, so I got embarrassed, you see. No, he's a funny doctor. Anyway, he said, no. No, you see, the trouble is I keep sleeping with the mouth open, you see. Yes, the doctor says my skin's too tight. Yes, I said to him, skin too tight. He said, yes, every time you close your eyes, it opens your mouth. It's a funny man.
Well, he'll be giving us some lucid comments later, I'm sure. Next, we meet again our popular idol, who's more idle than popular, Ricky Levy.
Hello, now, I'd like to take this opportunity of saying a word to my fans. May I?
By all means, go ahead.
Hello, Mum.
Thank you. Next, we welcome once more our society authoress, who wants to tell us something about her latest novel, Behind Green Shutters.
Yes, well, actually I do. It's the story of a small town, actually, and the newcomer, pretty young Sandra Bingham, who sets the town talking with her many, many love affairs. Oh, you'll soon get the mood of it by the time you reach Chap 5.
Yeah, sure we will. Thank you. And lastly, our cultivated farming friend, Arthur Fallowfield.
Well, we country folk are pretty satisfied with our lot. I mean, we lead peaceful, contented lives with the things we love around us. You know, there's nothing like an ever-open door with the birds popping in and out. I make no bones about it. I'm looking for someone to love.
Yes, thank you, Arthur. Thank you very much. All right. Yes, yes, thank you very much. All right. Well, that's our team of experts, and so to this week's searching question, is the role of television to educate or to entertain?
Thank you, Florence.
Ah, yes. What do you say? No, I'm glad you asked me that. No, I am. No, it's something I feel really strongly about, you see. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, of course. Well, I mean, it's a free country, isn't it? Eh? No, well, I mean, you've got to take both sides, you'll see, into consideration, haven't you? Look, I met a chap once, nice fellow he was, nice fellow. He was getting on this bus, you see, loaded up with parcels. And
yes, now, I wish you'd stick to the question,
sir. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, yes. Oh, no, I'm so sorry, ever so. The question, yes, right. Now, here, what's the question?
Television, is it for...
Oh, yes, I remember now, yes. Well, I think television's got tremendous educational value. I mean, whenever it's on, it makes you want to read a good book. No, well, they do some funny things, don't they? I mean, did you see that famous television personality the other night? Low-cut dress, ridiculous earrings, made up to the nines, disgraceful.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Isn't there? This was Billy Cotton.
All right, now, Ricky Livid.
I reckon there's enough culture already, anyhow. I mean, you've got your interesting discussion programs like your Jukebox Jury. Then you've got your racial tolerance programs like the Black and White Minstrel Show. But I do definitely hold with the early morning educational program.
Oh, you do?
Well, I mean, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? I mean, anybody what gets up at 7:15 to watch is stupid enough to need education, isn't it?
Yes, thank you, Ricky. Charlotte Bellingham, what do you think?
Well, my issue number one. Mummy always says, look and learn. That's what Mummy always says. And, you know, this is very absolutely true. I mean, isn't it? I mean, Richard Dimbleby's absolutely dishy and oozing with personality. I mean, he is, isn't he? Isn't he? I mean, when he's on, the screen is filled with... Well, Richard Dimbleby. But you see, my mummy always says that my mummy...
Don't shove a crumpet in your mummy's cake.
Well, oh, it's impossible. You really rude, horrible, nasty, deeply old man.
I am not old, and if you think...
Oh!
All right. That's quite enough, you two. Now, Fallowfield, simmer down. What is your opinion?
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. There is no substitute for real life entertainment and knowledge. Look into a bird's nest taken from a flower. Have a peep into the barn of a Saturday night. I mean, you see, there's too much armchair enjoyment these days. I mean, who wants to sit there watching a gardening program? Get out and do it. Who wants to sit there watching sport? Get out and do it. Who wants to sit there watching Honor of Blackman?
Yes, all right.
Mean.
Well, that's all from the panel for this week. And now here are four people who also make no bones about it. They dedicate their song this week, Let There Be Love, to Arthur Fallowfield. Ladies and gentlemen, the Fraser Hayes Four. And so to our drama of the week. And this week, impressed by the continued popularity and success of the Agatha Christie crime thrillers, we've decided that obviously you can't beat a good old-fashioned whodunit.
Stand by then as we bring you a murder mystery that will have you on the edge of your seats. It's thrilling, it's chilling, it's uncomfortable.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present... House Trap, or Five Little Sniggers. Our story begins.
begins when an unexpected invitation for the weekend brings five complete strangers to a lonely, myth-shrouded house on Eerie Island.
Just listen to that. Looks as if we're in for a dirty weekend.
Well, our host hasn't appeared yet. I suppose we'd better introduce ourselves. I'm Dr. Thurston McWhinney.
Oh, a surgeon?
Yes, actually, I'm known in Harley Street as Mac the Knife. And you?
Major Pimmington, ex-Indian Army, Rajput.
Oh, where do you serve?
The tea kind of Nappy Delhi. How about these other two chaps?
Joe Cox is the name, gentlemen. Commercial traveller. No doubt you've heard a few stories about me.
How do you do? I'm Andrew Root.
Roots. Now the name's familiar. Aren't you an archery expert?
That's right. I'm one of the arrow roots.
Oh, I can see that it's going to be one of those weekends.
Well, is that everybody?
No, there was a lady traveled across the island with me. We were both in the same boat. She's popped upstairs. Oh, there she is.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. Well, am I the only woman in the party?
Apparently.
Oh, I can see this is going to be one of those weekends.
We've already become acquainted. Gents, this is Miss Vivian Chatsworth, the famous fashion editor of Vogue.
Oh, how interesting. Very interesting. I've often read your magazine in my waiting room.
Oh, come now, Doctor. She's not that old.
Look here, does anyone know what this is all about? I mean, who is our mysterious host?
Wait a minute. Here's a note on the table. It says, play the record that's on the radiogram.
How very odd.
Here it is. I'll put it on.
Good evening. I've invited the five of you here for a rather special weekend. I intend to kill you, one by one. Have a nice weekend.
Well, what do you think of that, Doctor?
It'll never get into the top 10.
Mr. Fox?
No, I didn't like it at all.
Miss Chatsworth?
Well, no, it's not a record, Garden Bar.
They were all agreed we vote this one a miss.
By the way, in case any of you try to escape, I should warn you that every door and window has been electrified with 30,000 volts.
Shocking thing to do.
Well, I don't care. I'm getting out of here.
No, Roots, don't touch that doorknob.
Oh, the man's bluffing. I don't believe there are 30,000 volts running through. This doorknob?
Oh, no. Oh, no, Doctor. Is he?
Yes, I'm afraid he is.
Then, now there's only four of us.
What on earth are we going to do?
Three clubs.
Four diamonds.
Five no trauma.
Oh, I can't bear this any longer. Oh, we'll all trust, not knowing what might happen. Oh, supposing another one of us goes.
Well, we just have to play a dummy hand then.
No, no. I'm sorry. I'm terribly, terribly sorry. I can't play anymore. I need a drink.
Good idea, Miss Chatsworth. At least there's a well-stocked bar. Oh, look at this. This is some new American cocktail. Strike Nine.
No, don't touch it. That's strychnine.
Oh. Oh, there's plenty of other drinks here. What's it to be, folks? Name your poison.
Don't say that!
Oh, getting jumpy, aren't we? Well, I'm not bothered, I'm sure. A nice drop of scotch, and I'm off to the library to watch the old telly. Ta-da.
Well, I'm going to have a scotch and soda.
Here you are, mate.
Thank you. Charles.
Major, what is it?
You drowned it, woman.
Well, excuse me, I'm just going into the library to get a book.
Well, Major, what's your theory about this vicious scheme to eliminate us all? Have you got any bright ideas?
No, not yet, but when it gets down to the two of us, I might have a few.
Major,
Major Pivington, come quickly. There's something dreadful in the library.
Not Fanny Hill.
No. Now it's Cox. Look there on the floor in the front of the television.
No! Oh, how ghastly. There's an arrow right through him.
I'm not surprised. He was watching wagon trains.
Oh, please, we must do something. Why don't we search the house?
Right, I'll have a good look round. Doctor, you keep an eye on Miss Chetworth. And Miss Chetworth,
yes?
You keep an eye on him. Well, I've searched the place from top to bottom. There's no one here except we three.
Then that can only mean one thing. The murderer is one of us.
Well, what happens now?
I think I've got a modus operandi.
Oh, perhaps I'd better have a look at it.
Never mind, Doctor. Here's my plan. None of us must leave the room.
Not even if I put my hand up?
We must all stay here together so we can watch each other's movements.
Good idea. I'll watch Miss Chetworth.
But we can't just sit here and twiddle our thumbs. Oh, let's do something. Anyone know a good game?
Yeah, how about murder?
Murder!
I'm sorry. Well, how about this?
Well, I don't think I know that game.
Doctor, you seem specialized in being a nit. I'm suggesting we all get a spot of shut-eye. Miss Chetworth, you take the couch.
Thank you.
I take the easy chair. And as a special favor, Doctor, we'll let you have the floor. Right. Now let's all get our heads down.
Oh,
God. Oh.
Well, good night, gentlemen.
Good night, all sweet dreams. Miss Chatsworth. Miss Chatsworth!
Good heavens, look. She's been strangled.
You mean
death? There's a conservative club tie around her neck. Just a minute. Which one of us wears a conservative club tie?
Well, at the moment, Miss Chatsworth. I'm sure you are not implying that... I've never become involved in politics, Doctor. I wasn't a field marshal, you know.
Oh, well, it's not me. Here's my club tie. Look, the Harley Street Harriers.
It's all very confusing and mysterious. But look at it logically, Doctor. There can only be one. If it isn't you, it's me.
Surely you mean it is I.
Oh. So it is you.
Of course it's not me. Well, I'm going to get washed and shaved. If you're going to murder me, I want to look my best. Shall be long.
Well, I'm ready for a spot of breakfast. Nothing like a... Oh, you're back, Doctor. Doctor, you look ill. Don't see a doctor. You've got all... Doctor! There's a knife between your shoulder blades. Doctor! Doctor, say something!
Ouch.
But that only leaves me, and I didn't do it. Then who? Sure, I need this drink. Just a minute. Yes, I begin to see it all now. The pieces are all fitting together. Of course, I know now the murderer is...
That was The House Trap. And one thing we would ask you, please don't tell your friends who did it. The cast was as follows. Major Pemington.
Oh, Major!
All for now. Next week we'll be having a talk for girls given by a beauty expert and called How to Keep Chaps Away. Now, until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now, leaving you with this thought from a listener in London, NW1. Does a bookmaker's wife wear a betting slip? Oh, by the way, in case anybody is still in doubt as to who the murderer actually was in this week's sketch, it was...
Listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Merriman wrote the script, your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show is produced by John Simmons.